Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we give you all the praise and all the glory. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
The Lord is good. Amen. We thank you, Lord, because of the promise of eternal life. And we thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have of seeing our Lord Jesus very soon. And as you prepare us, Lord, help each and every one of us to have our garments washed in the blood, white, Lord, and having our loins girt about and ready and watching for the coming of our Lord. Father, Lord, as we enter into this segment of bringing your word, always we know that the entrance of your word brings light. So let it shine in our hearts today, bringing revelation knowledge that will prepare us for the coming of our Lord Jesus. We give you, Lord, all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap here this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I'm going to do my own review a little bit, just a few minutes, and then get into the rest of the service. In case you were not here and we did something different this morning, we didn't do the review. You know, so I'm picking up again on the preparation series. This is the series that we are hoping is going to get us ready for the coming of the Lord like never before. So we're really anticipating his coming. And we've been going into the book of Revelation. So that's the preparation series. Last time we did, first it was an introduction. Topic on that was the showbread and the hidden manna. And we explained how that the showbread is for all of us, but the hidden manna is for those that want to press a little deeper in. And we're going into that Revelation series. And today I'm going to be talking about the message to the churches. So this is Revelation. This is the book of Revelation. This is the preparation series, book of Revelation part 2. And I'm going to be talking about the message to the churches. So that's the message to the churches. Now, as you know, the Lord Jesus appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos and instructed him to write in a scroll and send a message to the seven churches that were present at that time in Asia Minor: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea, and so on. So we're going to look at the message. Last time I went briefly into the first part, which was Ephesus, but I'm going to combine all of the messages to the churches in these next two parts. We're going to combine all the, because, you know, it is so critical that he said it seven times. Let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Amen? Now, he didn't say, let the church that is in Ephesus hear only the letters or the letter to the church of Ephesus, or the one in Smyrna only hear the letters or the letter that was written to their church, and so on. No, he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. That means every one of those messages is applicable to anybody that's part of the church and part of the body of Christ. Amen. You know, so rather than focus on dispensational revelation of what these churches indicate down through the ages, I'm going to focus more on the actual messages that are contained, you know, in the writings to those churches. Now, we know that there were seven local churches at the time, and a lot of prophetic writers and prophetic revelators have told during over the years that, you know, how we can depict, you know, the history of the church ages with the revelation that went to these seven churches, you know. So, but that's not our focus today. Our focus is to look at, because if you look at it that way, there's a tendency that people will only look at, they say, well, we're in the last church age, so we'll only look at the message of Laodicea. No. You know, so we don't want to do that. We want to look at all the messages, because it says, let him that hath an ear hear what the church, I mean, Spirit is saying to the churches. So, as I said last time, there are several critical parts of each of those messages to the churches. And there are some things that are common in all those messages. The first thing that we see that is common is there is some kind of introduction that Jesus gives of himself to that church. The next thing that we see that is common is some kind of a review. And he always starts by saying, I know thy works. I'm going to spend a little bit of time on that today. Now, the next thing that we see coming out of that review is that there may be a commendation or a rebuke, or both. And then there's usually an exhortation calling them back. If there was a rebuke, there would be an exhortation calling them back to repentance, you know, to fix whatever Jesus is highlighting as being wrong or whatever he's displeased with. And then there is usually another thing that is common is a wonderful promise that he gives to the overcomers. You know, if they were able to overcome whatever it is that they were facing and able to go back and do the exhortation and call to repentance that the Spirit of God was bringing, then there was always a promise. And the last thing that is common is always an admonition for everyone to listen. If you have an ear, listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So let's start. You know, I touched on this a little bit last time, but I'm going to go into a little bit more detail on the book, the church to Ephesus, the church that was at Ephesus. The Lord revealed himself this way. Unto the angel, this is Revelation chapter 2, by the way. We're starting at verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hands and walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And I really wanted to bring out the reason why the Lord would, describe himself in each of these ways to each of those churches. But it will make my study go a little bit longer. So I'm going to put that in some cases, I may just mention it. But he always tried to relate to whatever they were going through and reveal himself, you know, that way to give them courage for victory. Now, I know thy works. The first thing. So this church of Ephesus, let me just read what it says. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst bear them which are evil and hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not and have found them to be liars. And hast borne and hast had patience for my name's sake. Thou hast labored and hast not fainted. So these are all the things that, the good things, when Jesus did a review, said, I know thy works. He always starts with that. Now, let me say something right away about works. There's a difference between benefits and works. Amen? The benefits that we have for being children of God is we are positioned to sit with Christ in heavenly places. And he has given us eternal life because we are washed by his blood. Amen. Those are benefits. For being a child, you have benefits for being in that family. Now, that has nothing to do with rewards. That's just benefits. Rewards are based on works. Now, benefits are based on your relationship with God. If you're born again into the family of God, you automatically receive the name of God. So you have claim to some things. Those are benefits. But rewards are based on works. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. So this first church that he was talking to had some good things going for them. They were gifted. They were a charismatic church. They knew how to discern and prove wrong those who said they were prophets, apostles, or whatever, And, they had some good things going for them. But there was one thing that Jesus began to rebuke them about. He said, despite all the fact that you have all these gifts, I mean, they were a gifted church, really gifted church, Church of Ephesus, And despite the fact that you have all these gifts, there's something I have. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. So now, the first love, being that the Lord is talking to all the churches I want everybody to examine themselves to see how this applies to you. What is the first love that you may have lost? You know, the Lord, he always brings something out, you know, most times. I was in a guy one time came to the Lord. He said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? The Lord said, do this and that and so forth and the other. And he said, look, I've done all that since my youth and up. And the Lord looked at him and loved him. And then he said, but thou lackest one thing. So there's always that one thing. Because why is that? Because be ye also perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Amen. So there's always one thing. Or sometimes it may be more. But there could be one thing or something that we need to work on to bring us to perfection. In this case, they have lost their first love. What was your first love when you met the Lord? Was it the joy of witnessing? Was it that nobody could shut you up? You couldn't wait to talk about the experience. You couldn't wait to talk about, you know, the impact of the Lord in your life. Was it even the love of the brethren, you know, and so forth? I mean, there could be a lot of things. You know, was it time that you couldn't wait to get into the Word of God? You couldn't wait to come into fellowship. You couldn't wait to get to the prayer meeting. I mean, you know, after one prayer meeting, you'd stay in church longer and you couldn't wait to get to the next one. Could it be any of those things? Now, take a look and take stock of your life right now. Examine yourself to see whether you still be in the faith of the first love. You know, and are you still there? Are you still doing those same things? If not, now, here's what Jesus says in verse 5 of chapter 2, Revelation. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. Now, this is not something, you know, it is serious enough that you have to repent. It's not just something that you can brush under the table. Repent and do the first works again. Or else, I will come unto you quickly, and I will remove your candlestick. That means you will snuff out the light. And that goes into really darkness then. So, we don't want that, except thou repent. Now, let me talk a minute about the three things here in this verse, three steps to getting back to where you once were. The first thing is you must recognize that you have missed the mark. That's why he said, remember from whence thou art fallen. Now, when people don't know that there's anything wrong, then they don't think that there's anything to correct. Are you still with me, folks? Hello? Talk back to me. Let me know you're there. But when you know that there is something to correct, then you might begin to look for the way to the correction. So the first thing is, remember from whence thou art fallen. I gave this illustration many, you know, some time back in some messages. I talked about, look, if you're going somewhere and you missed the turn, maybe perhaps there's a fork in the road and you took the wrong turn. This has happened to me before. And in some places, you get on these freeways, especially this, they're not freeways, they're expressways or something, or tollways in the East Coast. And you go for 30 miles, there's no place to turn back. You know. Now, if you miss the turn and you recognize that you missed the turn, well, you may not recognize that you missed the turn, you just keep going. Well, that's not a good place to be. But perhaps there are some road signs along the way that tell you that, oh, you've missed the turn. Now, you have some choices. You may just keep going and hope that somehow, magically, you will end up where you were supposed to go. Okay, that's one way of approaching. So, well, you already know you missed the turn, but let me just keep going. And somehow, maybe I'll end up where I'm supposed to be. Well, that's one way. Or you may find a way to get back to the place where you missed the turn and then look for the correct turn to take. Amen. You know, I prefer the latter of the two. This is what Jesus is saying here. Go back to the place where you missed the mark. Remember the place from whence you are falling. Remember the first works that you used to do and go back, repent, and do them again. Can you say amen to that? If you don't, I will come and remove your candlestick. Now, you know, we're supposed to be a candlestick giving light. Now, if the Lord removed that candlestick, now that's outer darkness. That's not good. All right. So, now, he also commended them about the deeds of the Nicolaitans. It was a divide and conquer. It was an authoritarian thing that they had there. And, you know, Jesus said, I hate that stuff. But you guys also hate it, so that's good. You know, so we need to hate whatever it is that God hates. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, he goes on to say, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Now, to him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. How many of you say amen to that? Now, so that means that not everybody will have right to that tree of life. It's only those that overcome. So take note of that. Now, let's go on quickly to the next church. This church here, called Smyrna, they are the suffering church, right? He says, I know thy works. Now, let's look at the way Jesus revealed himself to this particular church. He said, this thing said the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Now, there's going to be a message to that, in that, to this church here. That even though you die, you may live again. You can live again. So Jesus is positioning himself and telling them that. Because in the things that Jesus tells them here, we see that some of them are going to be put to death. I know thy works and thy tribulation and thy poverty. Amen? But thou art rich. Now, so let me bring something out there. Now, these people thought that they were poor. Well, perhaps because they were poor in earthly things. But Jesus said, you are rich. Hallelujah. Wouldn't you rather have that than the ones, we'll come to that later, perhaps not today, but there's another church that thought they were rich. And Jesus said, no, you are miserable, wretched, poor, blind, and naked. And that's one way. But these ones, they actually humbled themselves. They were not boastful. They thought that they didn't have much going for themselves. But Jesus said, no, you are actually rich. Amen. And I noticed that this particular church, Jesus had no words of rebuke for them at all. He said, I know thy works and your poverty and so forth, tribulation, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say that they are Jews and are not. So there were some of them. Jesus said, I know that. You know. But they are of the synagogue of Satan. So we find that the synagogue of Satan can sometimes be among the church. Amen. Is that true? That's what Jesus is saying here. So, and we've known that to be true. Now, and he began to say to them, like, look, fear none of those things, you know, that you are going to suffer. Because the devil is going to cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, you know, and all that. And you're going to have tribulation 10 days, to begin to tell them. But be thou faithful even unto death. So this is the reason why he's telling them, look, I died, but I'm alive again. And together with my dead body, the Bible says, you know, as I live, so shall you live also. Amen. This commandment I have received of my Father, to give life to as many as the Son of Man shall choose. That's right. So, now, even though you may go through all these things, and even though they may put you to death, be faithful unto the end. Because I am he that liveth and was dead. You know, but now I'm alive forevermore. So it gives them that encouragement that just like I died and lived again, you will live again as well. But you must be faithful unto the end. Praise the Lord. And I will give you a crown of life. So that all that death and suffering and so forth, you're not going to remember it. I'm going to reward you with a crown of life. Hallelujah. Now he that overcometh among all other things shall not be hurt with the second death. Now, these people were put to death and a lot of things. So he's telling them that, look, that's the natural death. Don't worry about it. You know, if you overcome, you will not be hurt of the second death. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you a crown of life. And I'm going to set you up eternally. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Now, let's move on to, remember also again, he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Now we go down here to Pergamos. I don't even like that name. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos, write these things, saith he that had a sharp sword and two edges. Now this, he's going to tell them, like, look, I can cut through all that stuff. You know, I can cut and I can slice. You know, he knows what he's doing. You know, I've got my fan in my hand and I will thoroughly purge my floor, saith the Lord. And he's got a sharp two-edged sword. I know thy works and where thou dwellest. Now, this is supposed to be a church of Christ. But they are dwelling even where Satan's seat is. But yet, be you holding fast my name. So it doesn't matter where you are. You know, you might be in the middle of even the Satan's seat, you know, demonic worship and so on and so forth. That's not expected in the church, but that was in the city where they were. The city was full of those things. But they were holding fast his name. You hold fast my name and you have not denied my faith. Even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, even where Satan dwelt. So he commended them for holding fast to the faith and for standing their ground, even in the, when they're surrounded by, you know, satanic altars and satanic influences. But he began to bring a rebuke. But I have a few things against you, because you have them there that hold the doctrine of Balaam. You know, so a little bit of compromise here and there and so forth. Hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block to the children of Israel and so on, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. So, you know, Jesus is saying that you have these people there that hold this doctrine, you know, and I have that against you because you are compromising. You're allowing this, you know, unclean doctrines in your midst. Now, we got to take warning to that because the Bible says, let him that hath an ear hear what the Lord is saying to the churches. So we got to take heed that we don't allow doctrines of devils in our midst. Praise the Lord. Now, he went on to say, there's also the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. Started out with deeds here in the first church that at this point in time it's already become doctrines. You know, it's a little thing, a little leaven, leavens the whole lump. You know, and if you don't take care of it quickly, it takes over the church. See, when things, you see something, you see an element of, you know, falsehood, or you see false doctrine, and you don't nip it in the bud and take care of it right away, you know, it's going to start a little bit with deeds. The next thing you know is grown into our doctrine. It's fully rooted and seated. And so Jesus is warning them about it. And he said, repent. See, you must repent. Now, what is repentance? The Bible says that he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But if you confess and forsake, you shall have mercy. So repentance means to confess and forsake. So, and it do 180. You're going this way, you turn about and go. You're going the wrong way, you turn about to go the right way. So that's what repentance means. If you do not repent, I will come against you quickly and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Remember, he has a sharp sword with two edges. So he's warning them. He's going to cut them out, you know, from the body of Christ if they don't repent. But if they do repent, which he said, if anybody has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. If you do repent, here's what he's going to give you. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna. How many of you say amen? That's right. We talked about that hidden manna before. You know, there's some hidden manna that he's actually going to give us hereafter. But he begins to give us a taste of it here now. He begins to prepare us for that. You know, because all the things that he's doing or has done either with Israel and some part of it that's doing now with the churches is typing some things that were yet to come in the hereafter. You know, so there's the hidden manna. And there's also, you know, the white stone. What's in the white stone? I will give him the hidden manna. And I will give him a white stone. And in the stone, a new name written, which no man knoweth but he that receiveth it. Amen. If you don't like your name now, don't worry about it. He's got your name. Amen. He's got your real name. Hallelujah. And he's got it in a precious stone. And he's going to give it to you, a new name. Nobody else is going to know it. But he knows you by that name already. He knows you by whatever name you're called now. But he also knows you by the name that he's going to give you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He's so wonderful. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira, write, this thing said, the Son of God, whose eyes are like a flame of fire, and whose feet are like fine brass. I know thy works. You know, so he's coming against these folks right here. You know, I mean, he's, you know, he's like, his eyes are fire. He's not, he means business, folks. He's not messing around. He means business. His eyes are like a flame of fire. And wait until you see, you know, the things. You say, why? You know, because these people work so hard, you know. Well, I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works. Now, this is the second time he mentioned works. And the last to be more than the first. So they started out with doing some good works. And towards the end, they're still doing some works. And they're even doing more works, you know. And Jesus said, Jesus recognized all that. Because remember, works is what get rewards. He recognized all that. But look at what he has against them. Despite all that, you know, sometimes we labor with our head, with our neck, with everything and so forth. You know, we're doing all these things. But there's something that he's still looking at. He said, nevertheless, notwithstanding, I have a few things against you because, you know, and look at that. You suffer that woman there, Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, he didn't say that who is a prophetess, calls herself a prophetess. And what's she doing? Teaching my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Well, gee, you know, I don't know. Where is their head at? I mean, why would you allow such a thing to be happening? But it creeps in, it's a little compromise, a little leaven, and a little this, and a little that, you know. And, you know, this is the message to the church today, is that, you know, why we want the kingdom of God to expand and we want the church to grow and so forth, we've got to be careful not to compromise our position just because we want people to be there. Amen. Amen. Especially those who are allowed to teach. He said this woman was allowed to teach. I don't know where she came from. You know, the Nicolaitans were there. They were teaching, but they were teaching false doctrine. This woman is there too. She's teaching false doctrine. And Jesus said, I hate these things, you know. And they are sacrificing, you know, they are eating things, sacrificed unto idols and so forth. I have given her space to repent of her fornications. And she did not repent. Well, I'm going to cast her into a bed. Now, this is why he stands there with the eyes of flame of fire and the feet of brass. Because he means business, folks. You know, I'm going to cast her into a bed of affliction. And all them that commit adultery, I'm going to cast them, you know, all those that commit adultery with her, I will cast them into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. But the mercy of God always, no matter how evil these people have turned, he always gives them a way out if they can repent. Amen? Amen. But they will never repent. You know, some of these folks, you know, they are like, you know, you can't convert the devil, you know. But he gives them a way if they can only repent. I'll have a way out for them, you know, if they repent. But he said, well, if they don't repent, then I will kill her children with death. You say, that is strong. Yeah, that's right. That's why he had the eyes of fire. I will kill her children with death. And the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and the hearts. Amen. You know, so whatever is going on, the eyes of fire are looking. Amen. And what he doesn't approve, he's spelling it out right here. Therefore, purge out the old leaven, and be ye a clean lump, saith the Lord. Amen. Now, he said, I am the one that searches the reins and the hearts, and I will give every one of you according to your works. Wow. According to your works, folks, I will give every one of you. Let me digress a little bit and go into the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and talk about works a little bit, because we've been hearing these works and works and works. Now we hear this statement that Jesus said, I will give to every one of you according to your works. So we see that Paul, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he also goes into explaining some of these. But before I do that, let me just read one verse in the book of Revelation 22 and verse 12. Then I'll go back to 1 Corinthians 3. Revelation 22 and verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. So we see that the reward is based on works. You know, it's just based on works. But we know the reward is based on works. Well, let's go find out what kind of works. Jesus said, I will give unto you every one of you according to your work. And here he says, I'm bringing my reward with me to give to every man according as his work shall be, when I will find out what their work shall be. Remember, I know thy works. Now, but what kind of work? So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and see what Paul had to say about it. Now, in this chapter, of course, Paul is rebuking. Paul is first of all rebuking them for being carnal, saying, well, I am of this, I am of that. And so, you know, I belong to this prophet, and I belong to the other, or I belong to this church, or I belong to that. You know, we belong to Christ. Amen. As long as you are still that way, you are yet carnal. But Paul, he brings something out here. He said, look, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And there is no other foundation that anybody else can lay other than that which is already laid, which is Christ Jesus. He said, nevertheless, let every man be careful how he builds upon that foundation. Amen. Now, if any man, you know, shall build one thing or the other, you know, he says from verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold or silver or precious stones, or wood, or hay, or stubble. So we see here, he describes about six different elements to describe the kinds of work. Some people's work might be gold, some might be silver, some might be precious stones, others might be wood, or hay, or stubble. He said, well, every man's work, 1 Corinthians 3 and 13, shall be made manifest. Because the day will declare it. The day of Christ will declare every man's work. Amen. And it shall be revealed by fire. He's going to purge it. He's going to try it. And every man's work, say, the fire shall try every man's work to see of what sort it is, what's made of. So even though Jesus said, I'm coming, bringing my reward with me and so forth to give, it's not just, the reward is not only for good works. There are reward for also evil works. Amen. Reward is recompense. It can be also retribution. It doesn't, I preached a message like that before, and you can check it out on the website, February 5, 2017. It was called Rewards. You know, we described how the rewards could be. Rewards and the overcomers' rewards in that message. You know, so, you know, when he comes, he's going to check it out. Is your work going to be the quality of gold, the quality of silver, or the quality of precious stones? Now, those things, they don't really burn in the fire. They get purified with the fire, and they shine better. Amen. But the other set, the wood, the hay, and the stubble, they get devoured by the fire and turn to ashes. You know, so God is going to try every man's work to see what it shall be. Now, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. So on the prize-giving day, when Jesus is handing out the rewards, that man is going to have weeping and gnashing of teeth because his works were not found to be solid before God. Jesus said, I have not found thy works to be perfect before God. You know, they were tried, but failed. But if any man's work, you know, shall stand, he will receive a reward. Now, the one that suffers loss, listen to what he says. He will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. You know, so we see that he's saved because he's a child of God, but he got no reward because his works were trash, if you want to put it that way. His works were with hay, stubble, and wood. Now, what are your works being made of? Jesus said, somebody asked Jesus, said, what am I do to do the works of God? Jesus said, well, this is the work of God, that you might believe on him, whom the Father has sanctified and sent. Now, Jesus said in John 4 and 34 as well, he said, my meat is to do the will of him that has sent me and to finish his work. Now, all of these begin to tell us that, you know, the works that are going to stand, they have to do with the things that are uppermost in God's heart. Building the body of Christ, edifying the body of Christ, bringing in souls into the kingdom of God. Ephesians chapter 4, we tell us about that. You know, how that the gifts are laid out for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. This is when we go out and try to get people saved by the power of God. And all of these works, those kind of works, will stand. But Paul also cautioned and said, after I've done all those things, I put my own body under, lest I myself should be a castaway after I've already preached to others. Can you say amen? You know, so these people that were doing great works, well, they allowed other things to creep in. And Jesus doesn't go with, you know, let me take a percentage. If you get 6 out of 10, you are passed. Or 7 out of 10. I've heard some people say silly things like that. You know, Jesus wants you to get 10 out of 10. Amen. In the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, he said, be ye therefore also perfect. That means 10 out of 10. As your heavenly Father is perfect. You know, there's no 60% score or 70% score. There's no such thing. He wants 100%. Hallelujah. And that must be our desire. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. We're going to end today's study here, and we'll pick it up next time. You know, we'll continue this message to the churches, and we'll try to round up the rest of the churches in the next part of the message. But I want you to stand to your feet right now, and I'm going to lead us into a prayer session to bring out the things that we've talked about today. So let's stand to our feet, if you would. Now, this is not head knowledge. For us to just know the things that are in this book. Well, there is a promise given in the book of Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. And when we started this series, we read it. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy of this book, and keep those things. That's right. That are written therein. For the time is at hand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The prayer that we are going to pray now is, Lord, take me back to that place where I first received you. Take me back, Lord. Help me to repent and do the first works again. And help me to purge my heart from every spirit of compromise. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you with me, folks? These are the lessons we have learned about from these churches that we read about. Some of them compromise their faith. They allow little doctrines here and there to creep in. You know, and Jesus said, I've seen it and I hate it. And you better repent. I'll take your candlelight out of its place. And some of them lost their first love. We don't want to lose our first love. And if you are here today and you've lost your first love, the things of God no longer make you feel passionate. You're no longer passionate about the things of God. There's no excitement. There's no zeal. You're just casual about the things of God anymore. Whereas you used to be fired up about the things of God. You'd be fired up about coming to prayer meeting or coming to the church or witnessing or putting a good word for the Lord and so forth. Today, you know, go sirrah, sirrah. You don't care. Let anything be whatever it will be. You know, then you're already backsliding. The backsliding church, even though they have gifts, but they are backsliding from the work, the true works, you know, the love that they had for God in the beginning. The one where their heart was united with God and with the purpose of God. And they are backsliding. I want us to raise our hands here this morning and we're going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, take us, O Lord, back to the place where we first received you. Take us back, O Lord, to the place when we first met you, we were full of the joy of heaven. And we couldn't wait to bring more joy to heaven by telling somebody about Christ. And today, Lord, we have let those things slip that we used to do. And we pray, Lord, for forgiveness. We repent. Can you say amen if you repent? Turn your hearts unto me, saith the Lord. Turn ye, and I will turn you. That's right. You've got to want to turn, and then the Lord will turn you. Hallelujah. Turn ye, and I will turn you, saith the Lord. And ye shall find the place again from whence you are fallen. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. Take us back to that place, that secret place where you wrap your hands around us. Oh, that place that no fowl knoweth. That place, oh Lord, where we can be like you. The place where you can make us to do your will. The place where you can make us to follow the things that are after the mind of Christ. Take us back, oh Lord. And Father, we rebuke the spirit of leaven in Jesus' name. Because a small leaven leavens the whole lump. The spirit of, it doesn't matter. It's a little leaven. It creeps in as deeds, and next thing you know, it has become doctrine. We rebuke that spirit of leaven in the name of Jesus Christ. Purge out the old leaven, saith the Lord, and be ye a new lump. So, Lord, help us to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the spirit and filthiness of the flesh and stand true before the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And everybody says amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Praise team, you may come up. Hallelujah.